Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Big Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for you and Rankin. And I'm super happy to be here today because this right here, what's happening right now, this is the ray of sunshine in my day because there are no literal sunshine rays happening where I am today. In fact, we have a flood watch in effect. We have a tornado warning happening. We have the likelihood of hail for the third day in a row. And anyhow, it's just crazy weather here. And so it's nice to have some sunshine, even if it's not literal sunshine. But I feel like I'm getting tanner already. So it's great to hang out with all of you. Patrice, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. You wouldn't like you're not using one of those old CRTs, are you?
Oh, I wish I had kept one of those.
Yeah, that would
oh,
be literal.
Yeah, that would have been perfect for today.
Yeah, like a little bit of CRT tan. No, I'm doing good. Yeah, no, not much to say. The weather is about the same. No, it's not the same. We don't have flood watch or tornado watch or anything like that. It's just rain. And only very lightly, so it's not too bad. It's not too cold, it's not too hot, like just perfect.
Nice.
And I'm getting ready for a business trip on Sunday/Monday. I'm still deciding. I might take a hotel in Vienna because I don't want to get up at 3 a.m. So
I think that answers it right there. You don't want to get up at 3 a.m. So yeah. Plan the trip so you don't have to do that.
Yeah, that's what I think I'm going to do, because then I can get up at like 5:36 and that's fine.
So, it's still horrible, but better than 3
a.m.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
At 3 a.m., oxygen in that part of the world is not turned on yet.
Exactly.
Patrice, I get up at 3 a.m. every day, but that's for a different reason, and I go back to bed right afterwards.
Okay. Yeah, you pee and then go back to bed.
Yeah.
No, that's it. I mean, I might be still awake at 3 a.m., but that's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, if
that's
I had
a
choice,
thing.
Let's put it this way. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's like it's good. I'm very much looking forward to like Poland and seeing my team there and some other lovely people and having a good time. And I'll be back on Wednesday, and then Thursday is a public holiday, and Friday I took off. So next week is going to be exciting but short.
All right. Well, have an awesome trip.
I will. Thank you.
Excellent. Tom.
Did I mention when I booked the trip, I accidentally booked it for a full week and realized it, of course, about 5 seconds after hitting submit and paying. So, I mean, the company pays for it, but still, like, I had to immediately reschedule.
All right. Well, that makes me feel a little better about my near mishap a couple days ago. I was buying my flight to Chicago for the MaxDoc conference. And I'm on the airline webpage and I type in DEN for my starting point. And then I type CHI for Chicago, which then gives you a pop-up list of cities to choose from. And so I have O'Hare and Midway on the list and a couple other cities. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So I click on what I thought was O'Hare, but was actually Charlotte, North Carolina.
Small difference, but actually no big difference.
Yeah. I mean, depending on where you are in the world, it's like pretty close, not bad. And I couldn't figure out.
If you're coming
out,
from Mars, it's close enough, right?
Oh, yeah, from Mars. That's like a hole in one. Yeah, I'm looking at the flights, and I'm trying to figure out why there are no direct flights on Southwest Airlines from Denver to O'Hare. It didn't make sense to me at all. And I'm looking and I finally find this one flight, and it's a weird time of day, and it costs more than twice what everything else costs. And I'm like, this does not make sense. And then I see right below it, there's another flight with a layover at Midway. And I'm like, why would you fly to Midway in Chicago as a layover to get to O'Hare. And finally, I realized that it was Charlotte and not Chicago, O'Hare.
At least you caught it on time.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
I'd say I'm getting by in life on my looks, but
yeah.
As I often say, if I had a brain, I'd be dangerous.
Right? Yeah. So, wow. Anyhow, Tom,
speaking of, someone who has a brain, it is dangerous.
Right?
Yeah, very dangerous.
Our own lethal weapon, Tom.
I'm doing fine, Jeff. Thank you. I am back last week. I missed last week. I went to a very good charity event, a place mm-hmm. called Recovery Cafe in San Jose. My wife and my sister-in-law are involved. It was really a great event, but it was exactly at the time of the big show. So I apologize for that. And I also apologize to anybody who's dumb enough to follow me on Mastodon, especially during Warrior games. I'm really sorry.
Well, you can always mute the hashtag. So.
Right. We're trying to figure out. It just seems like such an imposition on everybody that follows me. You have to mute, you know, anytime mm-hmm. we post Warriors or whatever. So a couple of the people on there, we're trying to figure out, can we just do basically a chat room, you know, just chat with each other, because it does really pollute the feed. So I apologize to everybody. Sorry.
Yeah, I was horribly offended that you were enjoying yourself.
Exactly. See, and I've probably seen your posts, and I couldn't remember it because I think I have a good filter. My brain has a good filter. It just doesn't even recognize that. It's like, oh yeah.
Somebody who wasn't involved, who's on the same Mastodon server, at one point posted, "Is there some sports thing going on?" the feed was just clogged with Warrior stuff.
That's funny.
That's very funny. Yeah, when I see a lot of posts about the same thing, and typically there'll be like a common word, and I don't know what it is, my assumption is that all the sports fans that I follow are frantically talking about whatever their thing is. And I'm like, okay, no problem. Just scroll past all of the code talk and let them do their thing.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, like you said, Patrice, the nice thing about Mastodon is you can filter on keywords, and we try to use hashtags, so you can just filter those out.
Mm-hmm. No, I've done like one or two filters. It's super easy to set up. Like Blue Sky, for example, I filtered out because I don't want to hear about it. So like it's mm-hmm. what's like a 5-second thing to filter out.
Yeah, there are a couple commonly used words in the US political arena that I have filtered out because I
I'm this close to doing that too. Yeah.
Indictment? Is that the word?
No, also
an acronym and a single syllable name that rhymes with grump.
Oh yeah, no, I'd agree with you filtering that out.
Yeah. Wump.
That's it. Yes. We're referring to Jeremiah Frump.
Oh yeah, Frump.
That's right. Yeah.
Yes.
For sure. Yeah. No, like, is that filtering is a powerful thing. If you don't care about something, just filter it out.
Mm-hmm.
Just make it go away.
And I mean, if you don't, and if it still annoys you, and certain people always get filtered, then just don't subscribe to them.
There you go.
Unfollow, unfollow.
If there's something that keeps popping up that triggers you, that's probably not a healthy thing to have in your feed. So make it go away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm so much happier now that I filtered out some things.
Yes. Yeah.
On the other hand, following hashtags sometimes super interesting. So just saying.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Leverage both to your advantage.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to come up with a clever transition using lever.
You want to leverage Ian to your advantage?
And I decided it was just going to go way south super fast. So instead, Ian, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm good. It's been a week. I was away last week myself. I was at another meeting, so couldn't come along. But I'm back this week. It's been a very mixed weather in the UK this week. We've had sun, rain, everything, and everything in between all the way through. It's been, and now we've got bright sunshine. It's been raining like Billy O Thunder and everything, and now sunshine.
Yeah,
which is wonderful. And so you had,
you had also a minor event happening in the UK.
Oh yeah!
No. Oh yeah! You had a thing,
like a minor thing.
Charlie got a hat. Yeah, yeah. I can get to. Exactly. I have.
Grumpy Cat got a hat.
Things you can give things about. I had none to give. Mm-hmm. I went off and did something. My wife was working. I went off and did something else. So I went off to a show. I went off to an event and a show to see stuff, and that was much more fun.
Nice.
Frankly, no, I have no interest. I really don't.
That's it. Grumpy Cat got a hat.
Charlie boy got a hat and I have no care. And I got a haircut as well, so I now not look like an old TV show character from the 70s in the UK known as Cat Weasel. Anyone Googles Cat Weasel, you'll see what I'm talking about.
Well,
I remember that.
I'm about to Google that right now. Cat
Weasel.
Cat Weasel.
Put that in the chat.
Thingy Bowden.
I think I've seen that. Fantastic.
He was a wild druid that woke up after M number of years in the 70s. And he ran around doing magic and all sorts of strange and wonderful things for children back in the 70s. And
the first picture that popped up for me is a picture on The Guardian. And it's him in a bathtub, looking over his shoulder, like, what the? He's naked.
Ah, yes,
and
indeed. That's when they made him wash. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what I was starting to look like when I start getting there.
Well, okay, so what I'm hearing is before your next haircut, you need to be on the show from your bathtub.
Yeah,
I do. Right.
Yeah, that's an idea.
There needs to be a picture of me looking remarkably like that.
Yeah, but then we can only live stream it on only Jeff's.
Yeah, that's right. Ka-ching.
He was 93 when he passed away, Jeffrey Belden, who was Cat Weasel. Well, that was 2017, so it was a while ago, but...
Well, and sure, this is the first time hearing of him.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't.
I've heard of that somewhere.
It was probably shown in Germany in the 70s and the 80s on the TV.
80s and 90s maybe, yeah.
Yeah, and there was also Wurzel Gummidge as well. He was in that. He did bits in that as well. So if you ever saw that one, which was John Pertwee, one of the doctors.
So what was that one called?
Wurzel Gummidge. It's a scarecrow that comes to life.
Yeah, I don't think I've
seen that. People.
What is up with Brits just making up random combinations of vowel and consonant sounds and saying it's a name?
That's rich coming from a country where people call themselves
like
many things. That's rich coming from America. That's really rich.
I'm not saying it doesn't happen here.
Given what some of your countrymen choose to call themselves, no, not having that. You can't even say Zed properly. I mean, come on. I mean,
yeah.
In the US, you usually steal the name. Like, you just take a name that already exists somewhere in the world and you just apply it to your new.
Yeah, and say it badly.
Yeah. Yes. We're very good at appropriating words and names from other cultures and then butchering the pronunciation. However, we don't randomly come up with characters named Chiblompadimp. And then tell everyone, and he had the greatest kid show in the 1970s where they all rode the Chigadoogomp and he had his pet
wow.
And
Wurzel
a chitty bang bang.
There we go. There's a link for Wurzel Gummidge. Chitty chitty bang bang. That was written by Ian Fleming.
That was.
Yes.
By the way, one of my favorite also movies Brit. Of all time.
Yeah.
Said also a Brit. Yeah. So.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. Indeed. I mean, John Pertwee before also did was Wurzel as well as being the doctor, as being the good doctor, probably around about the same. I'm not sure if that overlapped or not. 79. No, it didn't. That was late because he was why he was in those earlier. Doctor was 70 to 74.
Wow.
Wurzel Crummidge.
I feel like I've learned so much about British culture today, television culture that I hadn't known before, but
I'm
should
surprised
have suspected.
I'm surprised they hadn't made it to America in the way that did Darling Buds of May go mad in America?
With no.
Catherine Zeta-Jones? No. I just wonder, again, it's another kind of, it's of a similar kind of thought. Yeah. And
the name sounds similarly ridiculous, so yes.
I mean, it was just a nice TV show about village life. And it was very much picture book Britain.
Yeah.
Catherine Zeta-Jones, so who like, you've heard of.
You mean Hot Fuzz?
Yes. And it was like, and Catherine Zeta-Jones was one of the leading lady. Was the leading lady at the time in her very much youth and very much one of her first TV roles. And all 14-year-old boys had their eyes on Storks every time she was on the telly. You know, it was one of those kind of shows. And it was nicely done, and again, it follows that same kind of nice television, which Wurzel Gummidge and Cat Weasel also fall into the category of nice.
And Chickle Pop Tyne on the Thames, I loved that one.
I must find you some more random name cheese shows now. There's also Willow the Wisp as well, but you've heard of Willow the Wisp, of course.
Yeah, Castle Bromwich.
But here's the thing. Yeah, Castle what Bromwich, I just said yes. Sounds totally plausible.
Castle Bromwich is a place.
I know. I've been there.
You've been there. Well, so you've been there. That's where Ewan lives.
Yeah.
That's Ewan's part. Well, roundabout.
I've been at Ewan. So, yeah.
Is that where the term Brum comes from? From the
Absolutely.
Castle?
Absolutely. Well, it comes from Birmingham. It's kind of a shortening of Birmingham. Ronnie.
Well, I suppose now that we've gotten through our British culture discussion for the day, might as well talk a little bit of tech. And Patrice, you have dropped a story in.
Yeah, let's go back to the US. So
so we'll go back to the US, and it's a story that I had no doubt someone was going to bring. It was just a matter of who. And so, Patrice, tell us about the story that brought you back to the U.S. where we don't have Tinky Bomb Tow and Chickle Doobly Dee.
Morgan Mindy.
And I live two blocks from the house they use for the exterior shots. I am not.
That's right. That was Boulder. I forget. Yeah. Boulder. Mm-hmm.
Fraggle Rock. Yeah.
So Fraggle Rock, that's true. There was like a big event this week on the Google side. And if you had to summarize it in one two-letter word, it would be AI. So there's a hilarious like little video on going around in the social medias of what's his name? Not Satya Nadella, because that's Microsoft. The other guy.
Sundar Pichai.
Sundar Pichai, yeah, exactly. Basically saying AI like 15 million times. Because that is, I mean, there were some other announcements, but that is kind of everywhere. Like, they're just all over AI, kind of, like everybody else. But like on the hardware side, there were three new Pixel phones, or Pixel devices, I should say. The Fold, the Tablet, and the 7A. Mm-hmm. So no big surprise there.
Which is like a smaller version of the 7, right?
It's the same. Like, I mean, they've had the 6A, the 5A. They're quite successful. They're quite affordable. They're quite good. Like every reviewer I've heard, like, they rave about the 6A. Like, for the price, it is a surprisingly good Android phone, like, if you're into Android. They were waiting for the 7. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were.
My oldest has one of the sixes, and he says it's brilliant. Mm-hmm. He really likes it.
Yeah, it's like Marcus Brownlee, for example. Like, he's all over the. I mean, he likes the 7 for sure, like the more flagship one. But the 6A was brilliant, and if you didn't have the what is it, $1,500 to spend or $1,000? I don't know, something north of $1,000 to spend on a 7. He probably would have got the 6A. He said so. Yeah, so that's the Fold is, I think, quite interesting. It's their first folding phone after like Google, Samsung and so on did it. Some others, they're finally doing it. It's like $1,799, so it's actually not super, compared to the other folding phones, it's not super expensive. Still quite an expensive phone, but it's like 5.8 inches. It's an OLED outer screen. And then the inner screen is a 7.6 inch, also OLED. Like, so
quite nice.
It's almost a tablet. 7.6,
right.
It's quite
new. Yeah.
There is an 11 inch Pixel tablet at $499, so that's quite affordable.
Yeah, that's surprisingly affordable for that size tablet.
Yeah, and then the 7A, as I said, it's like the new Tensor T2 chip, 6.1 inch display, 1080p only, but I think at that price, $499 or $599, depending on which, like whether it has millimeter wave or not. So, as I said, not too bad. And then I said AI everywhere, like Google Search got AI powered snapshots. Bard is now available for everybody. Android is getting AI powered customization options for messages and so on. Oh, it's a bit of that.
You can have Google Music make up songs for you now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like there's a magic editor in Google Photos that like uses AI to like allow you to like, I don't know, move you around, for example. There's one example, or change the background. There is for workspaces, which I think is sheets, slides, and so on, like all of that. Duet AI is called. It's basically the name for the AI tools in those workspace apps. So that's that. And then there is a new Wear OS 4. Say that three times, Wear OS 4, improved better. It's not a big update from what I've seen, but it's like, okay, it just across the board, some improvements and better smart home integration and so on. So, yeah. And also, and I think that's also quite nice for the people who are into Google Home, there's a new, hopefully improved Google Home app. So completely redesigned. Mm-hmm. It's invite only currently. But it should be available a little bit later.
I mean, how is Android now as an operating system? It's been a couple of years since I've looked at anything on an Android device. This side of my Kindles, but they're all hidden away, so I don't really get to see the. Last time I had one, it drove me mad with all of the kind of geolocation type services that every time I walk near something, it would pop up 1,000 adverts telling me the various things I could go and get. And I decided I didn't need that. And so I decided I'd had enough of Android and went back to Apple. But has it got any better these days? Is it more? You'd hoped it were configurable so you could muffle all that, but it didn't seem to be then.
That depends still a little bit on like what variant or what manufacturer are you using. If you go with like the Google, the Pixels, I haven't used it myself, but from my friends and so on, like what I've seen, I would say it's comparable. Like there's not, like there's some stuff that works better, there's some stuff that works worse. Like overall, it's fine. I mean, it's a mature, like as everything else, it's a mature system. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was wondering that when I came up to my upgrade this year, because I've got a work iPhone that I thought, maybe I'll have an Android, so I've got one of each to play around with. You know, so I've still got both on hand, but I'm sure it'll probably annoy me and I'll end up trying to get rid of it before I'm not attracted by things like the cameras and stuff. It's supposed to be quite nice. And then
it's not my cup of tea, but I mean, there is some stuff. Like, I mean, if you go with like a Pixel 7 and like a stock Android, more or less, if you're okay with the Google things, it's just Google Gmail, all of that, messages, then it's fine. I mean, the most apps that you use probably are anyway the same, like WhatsApp and so on. So.
Yeah. Most of the standard stuff is all there. I mean, you're not losing out on apps anymore. Everything's in one place is in another now, isn't it? More or less.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And yeah, I mean, even and then like the camera works just fine. I mean, it's even in some cases, I mean, in some cases, it's like, what do you prefer? Like how iPhone photos look versus like Android or Google photos look. But in some places it's better, in some places worse. Overall, it's fine. Like there's no,
yeah,
no
I
real
might,
big winner.
I might have another go at an Android phone when I come to upgrade. Or yeah. I'll keep my 12 Pro, which is a really powerful phone.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I look at the 13 and the 14, I can't see anything in them that makes me want to upgrade. There's nothing really there that's.
I mean,
well, for the money more I'll spend.
Or what? Yeah, depends on what. As always, like depends on what you want and what you need. Like for me, the always on display was definitely a selling point.
And
the bigger, better
life
and so on, but. Yeah, if you don't care about it.
And until the battery starts flaking, I'm not so worried. It's still a fine device.
Yeah.
One of the things that that I found interesting from the announcements was Google saying that their version of Find My is the new version is going to include the tracker device alerts. Platform, I suppose, standard that they co-developed with Apple. So that will be a thing just built in already. And so that means on a Android phone, you'll get alerts about AirTags that aren't yours that are with you.
Yeah.
Well, that's neat.
Yeah. They also extended the support in general to more categories like keys and wallets and so on. So.
So that's nice. To extrapolate out from that announcement, my assumption is this means Apple's making the same announcement at WWDC in a few weeks.
Yeah, I mean you can assume so that like it's not a secret anyway, like that they're working together on it. So they might. I mean, honestly, they might not mention it at all and simply say, "Well, everybody knows already. So what's the point?"
They might just present it as enhanced privacy and tracker detection.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, as I said, overall, like Google I/O, solid improvements, nothing crazy. The crazy part is all the AI stuff that like is everywhere, and I'm not sure how useful it really is.
Well, I think it was obvious that they had to create some noise about AI, given that they kind of got outdone by Microsoft and OpenAI. I imagine Google execs are under quite a bit of pressure about that.
Yeah, and then, I mean, it's a very Google thing to, like, I mean, jump on the bandwagon of whatever is, like, popular right now, whether it makes sense or not, and then drop it in, like,
and then kill it in 6 months. Yeah,
exactly.
So I was interested in the Fold. You know, I think the concept is really nice. Mm-hmm. If you have a device where most of the time you use it like you use your current phone, you just use the one screen. But at times when you're doing something, when you're reading something or you want to look at an image or you need, you know, essentially two apps or two windows open, it would be nice to open it up to that, you know, 7.6-inch screen.
Yeah, like, it, and you're like when you're out and like when you're walking around and like you, I don't know, you want to text your family something, you use the outer phone. When you're sitting down in the train or like at the train station or whatever, or in a car, if someone else is driving, you just open it up and then you have a bigger surface. So
it seems so non-intuitive that mechanically a foldable screen is going to last very long. You know, I'm sure they figure it out with different materials and things, but that's got to be quite a trick.
I mean,
how long does the software last anyway? So,
on Android, it's a year, right?
Yeah. I mean also
Google
the thing
is better at it, but still.
I mean, if you think about it, well, the folding phones, I mean, most people change their phones out in 2 years, so it's probably one of those things that who cares if it. It's got a life of 2 in the modern world, then no one cares. It's got 2 year life, and you start weakening around the. Around the join, I mean, that bothers me. I wouldn't want one of those because I'd worry about that.
I mean, maybe the people who buy this would be on the higher end because it is $1,800.
They are the premium devices now, aren't they? The folding ones.
On the other hand, I mean, we're the type of people who would also either hand it down or sell it. And right. that mm-hmm. becomes a problem then, because then if the resale value is lower because, yeah, it doesn't last very long, then that, or it's already, like, you see already that it's worn quite a lot, then that becomes a problem.
So, I mean, for me, I don't usually upgrade my phone until either the battery stops holding charge very well, you know, because that gets really annoying. And I've noticed my phone is degrading over time, or you don't get updates anymore. Mm. And thankfully with Apple, that's a long time. I mean, I think
the battery dies before that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then you can just replace it. So.
Right. I have an 11. Mm. Well, you know, I replaced years ago. I had a six, an iPhone 6, and the battery was dying out. So I got a new one. But my experience was after, what was it, about 2 years of the new battery, the case started popping out. So I'm sure the battery expanded a little bit, you know, that experience. And I don't know if it was the way they put the phone back together wasn't quite right, or the battery was just not great. But, you know, anytime you open up one of these phones, they're not made to be opened up. It's going to be compromised at least a little bit.
It's disposable, sadly.
But, you know, something like a Fold, not at this price, but something like a Fold would tempt me to upgrade before my normal cycle.
No, you know, I definitely would be interested.
The only other thing that made me upgrade earlier than I normally would was when they came out with the big phones, you know, the Max or whatever the pluses. I upgraded from a, what was it, a 4 or 5 to a 6 just to get the plus size. Because I don't like little phones.
Big phone.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same. My wife was overjoyed when they brought back the classic size for the mini ranges. And right. now I had an SE and a 13 mini, and she thinks it's ace, you know, which, that's perfect for her.
Way too small. I got a purse. I can have a big phone. Like, this could be bigger and I wouldn't care.
Yeah, yeah. No,
you
no,
give me all the pro features in an SE body, and I would buy the crap out of that phone. So instead, I get the smallest size of the pro phone, which is quite big already.
Yeah, it's just... Everybody has their preference. I know people on both sides of that fence. My wife likes a small phone. She doesn't like the big phones. But I would get the big phone even if it didn't have more features, just maybe because my eyesight is so bad.
Yeah, exactly. I hear that quite a lot. That's that, like, when you get older, a lot of people say, I want the bigger phone because then I can increase the font size.
I turn up the font size for sure. Yeah. Right. I still have enough
space for everything. So.
Right. My screen real estate is probably the same, Jeff, as your SE or, you know, somebody else with a smaller phone, but I crank up the font size.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm still using my 12 Pro and you just said crank up the font size, and I'm thinking maybe I should.
It definitely helps.
I'm still okay. I don't need to crank the font size up yet. Every phone will save me.
I'm promising, wait for it.
Give yourself a couple of years.
Yeah, no. I've got a friend of mine who has massive, he's 10 years older than me, and he always ends up with, did you read that? The font's massive. I said, oh, yeah, it's all right. I can read it. I know it's all this sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's a combination of you know, my eyesight is not great. You know, I have better lenses, glasses now than I used to have too. It was when I was starting to get farsighted that was the biggest problem. But I just like more real estate for stuff, you know. I don't like to look at, if I'm looking at just reading a paragraph, I don't like to see, you know, kind of one line at a time. You know, I know I'm exaggerating, but I like to be able to see more stuff, you know.
Yep. I just bumped up the type size on my iPhone one notch.
There you go.
And holy crap, why didn't I do that earlier?
So PSA for everybody, and this works on Android and on iPhone, I think. I don't know how well it works for some apps, but definitely should work. Check the font size.
Mm-hmm. Would you believe he's now made me go and have a look?
Sorry. Well, when you're done looking, tell us about your story, Ian.
Oh, my story. Yeah. That's kind of interesting. Over in the UK, some of our carriers are deciding to turn off the 3G masts. which is kind of interesting. We're starting to lose 3G now, and that's for some of our more isolated areas, that's a problem where 3G is probably the only thing they've got left. So it's starting to be, but the problem is that the rollout of the new tech and the 4G mast isn't coming quick enough to catch up with it, but it's starting to happen.
It's
now,
more 5G. I mean,
yeah, 4G
is probably
we've got a combination of four and five across my city at the moment.
Yeah. The problem is like actually twofold. One is that there's a lot of hardware out there still that is 3G. Like cars like have some built like especially built in like cars and so on. But also like I mean some people like have really old phones that they like and use for a long time and it only has 3G.
My cat's 3G.
So I haven't even upgraded. Well, you can't even upgrade. Like if your car doesn't support and doesn't like the manufacturer is not upgrading it, which is pretty common, I would say.
My cat's tracker's 3G.
Mm-hmm.
My APAP machine, like many medical devices, is 3G.
The so intercom is
3G.
Why does
actually
that even
turns off a lot of medical devices. So Patrice, the reason it has 3G is so that it doesn't matter where I am, my APAP machine can send my data back to my doctor. So
yeah, that makes sense.
They have a system monitoring to make sure that there aren't any problems with my breathing and sleep patterns.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes sense. That totally makes sense. Yeah, I was wondering about that, but yeah, it makes sense.
I learned that elevator intercom systems used 3G.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Huh.
Yeah,
that was a big problem in the U.S. when they turned that off. You know, most of the elevator companies had done the upgrade. But, you know, if you have an old elevator, can you imagine?
Yeah,
and you don't find out until there's a fire or something, right? You're stuck in an elevator. I guess that's right. 3G doesn't work anymore.
Well, I mean, even if you have 4G or 5G, it's a kind of a gamble whether anybody responds. Like, as I can tell you, because it happens to me, happened to me twice. So.
Oh, help!
Yeah. That's the old
having
standard
an alert
now,
system
funny.
Doesn't guarantee someone is paying attention.
Exactly. Is that old system that used to be popular in the US gone now, finally? What was the old one called? The one before 3G?
Edge?
Yeah.
Edge.
Edge is actually probably still even in UK. Like that is the fallback for a lot of 3G still. Like you go back.
Yeah, because it's the fallback.
Occasionally I'll still see it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And GSMA, that was the one I was thinking
of.
Oh,
yeah, GSM.
GSM. Yeah, that's the one I was thinking
of.
That's
the one before Edge even, yeah.
Cool.
Because I remember being on here years ago and talking to, what's the guy who lives in Texas called that used to come on?
Corey Holtzman?
Yeah, Corey Holtzman, yes, Corey. Thank you. Yeah. Corey Holtzman, I think he's Arizona or Texas, one of those places. Mm-hmm. He was saying that a lot of the more isolated places, the only thing that worked because of the line of sight.
Right.
So that it was still surviving in a lot of the more sort of isolated areas of the US because it works. I mean, you're not gonna do dancing cat videos, but you can make a phone call, and that's what's important, you know.
GSM, that's what AT&T, T-Mobile, and most of the other carriers were using. CDMA is what Verizon was using.
Ah, that's the other one. Yeah, and, CDMA. I'm trying to remember the names of them.
And the benefit of CDMA in certain areas was that it could throw a signal farther as long as you had a clear line of sight. So
yes.
Yeah. So if you're out like in the middle of nowhere in Texas, where there can be open stretches that are as big as some countries in Europe, you still had a higher likelihood of having a signal because it was flat and the CDMA would carry farther than GSM.
Yeah. By the way, Kerry Holtzman, and he's also not in Texas. He's in Arizona because of
Texas, and he was in one of those places. And he was in somewhere.
Yeah, no, he's
America.
In Arizona because I met him once. So, you know, yeah, I mean, unless he moved recently, like I haven't seen him in years. So.
I know he's not been on here for a long time.
Oh yeah. Not long time ago. Like 2016, 17, that time frame.
Probably, yeah, because I remember having a conversation about that still exists in the States. And he goes,
he used to come on a big show.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, as I said, like you might not be aware of it, but it's probably still here because it's a fallback for emergencies and so on. Like still there. It's getting replaced slowly because with voice over LTE and so on, and like 4G being like quite prevalent,
but
slowly stopping that. But because I need the frequencies, so
Those frequencies back up. Yeah. Really,
I mean, that's the reason why they shut down 3G. Like they need the frequencies.
Mm-hmm. And I just realize I'm sitting here complaining about, well, if I don't have 3G, my APAP machine doesn't send data. And the way that got fixed was there's an app on my phone that lets me look at some of the data. So the data goes via Bluetooth to my phone, and then my phone is now sending the data on to my doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that also works. I mean, it's probably less reliable because what if your phone is out of range, out of power, whatever? I mean, for you, probably not a big issue, but for other people, might be.
Yeah. I mean, it mattered more when I first got my APAP machine because they had to fine tune everything. But the great thing was I didn't have to take the device back into my doctor. They were able to do the updates and changes remotely.
I don't even want to know what the security on that thing was.
My assumption is zero.
Non-existent.
Well, it's probably much better now that it's just going direct to my phone.
Probably, yes.
I mean, the medical industry doesn't even like, it took them a long time to adopt any kind of wireless technology.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Or passwords.
Or even passwords, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm only half kidding. You would be surprised on the net, like on the internal network in a hospital, what kind of like hardware there is with like zero encryption, zero security, like medical hardware that has been running for like 30 years.
Yes. And a lot of it will be cannot even be connected to a network. It just doesn't matter.
It's a machine that, like a lot of it is connected,
thing, and then that, it just well, doesn't matter to them.
Okay, then that's different. No, on the network at hospitals, quite a lot. Like they have like this, like between the computer that like processes the images and the actual hardware, there's a network connection that is also connected to the like normal network, and there's no security whatsoever. And it's quite common. Because I mean, when they were created, that wasn't a big thing. Concern.
Right. Nobody cared.
Yeah. And as we've talked about before, with these systems, it will still be running Windows XP probably.
Oh no, probably 95, 98.
Yeah.
They'll be running some old, some ancient version of Windows, and so it's
I mean, if you're lucky,
already on it, you're already sticky wicky already. You know, it's. You know,
it might be DOS for all we know.
Yeah. Right. Some stuff is. Yeah.
No, I mean, that's it. I'm quite serious. Like I've seen some things and heard some things from like security experts are saying like, and there's no way to update that because the manufacturer doesn't even exist anymore, or they have long since stopped supporting it and just tell you.
They
to
probably
upgrade.
Don't even have the code saved anywhere. If
exactly.
If the company
or if,
is around.
Yeah. Or it's in a language that nobody even knows anymore. Like at least not in the company and like all of that. So I mean, all they will tell you is, yeah, just sure, buy another $20-30 million device, that's a new one, and then that's secure.
Yeah, there's just such an impedance mismatch between the pace of new technology and many of these industries. You know, you see the same thing in auto. Auto is used to moving at, you know, at best 5-year periods. For a new platform, for example.
Yeah. And I mean, you know? That makes sense. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
it makes
why,
a lot
the medical
of sense.
Field, the medical field is that way, not because people are like lazy or slow or anything like that. No, because the investments are quite high, like in people and in money and so on. And yeah, they have to be very, very careful because like any mistake in that could like literally cost lives if it goes really, really, really wrong.
So, airline industry is the same. That's no different. You look at that, and there's an awful lot of green screen stuff still behind all the ticketing and stuff. And
the buffer overflow in what was it? The 747, I think.
747, right. Floppy drives. And
still updates of through floppy drives.
Still have three floppy drives. Yeah, cargo. This is cargo level rather than passenger.
Yeah,
but even so.
Yeah, the only reason the financial industry is so much faster is one, there's money to be made if you're fast.
Mm-hmm.
And two, they're quite. It's quite a closed system. So,
yeah.
And usually people don't die if you make a mistake. They might lose a lot of money, but they won't die.
That's true.
You won't crash or misdiagnose you with something.
Hmm. Hey, Tom, I think that sounds like a great segue into your topic.
Yes.
Okay, my story, it's a little bit old. I
but it's still a great story.
Yeah. I've talked about, you know, I live in the land of beta testing for self-driving cars. Maybe alpha testing is a better way to describe it. And San Francisco in particular has given permits to a lot of companies to let them do self-driving stuff. They have totally autonomous taxis in certain areas of town, for example. And so this latest story was, it's funny, but it was a little bit scary. And it was basically about, I'll start with my first quote. The fire department was at a scene, and the newspaper described it as a dollar store Walter White apparently lost control of his Sunset District garage dope factory. Somebody brewing up meth in their garage out in the Sunset, you know, it caught on fire. And of course, the fire department's out there, they have water hoses and so on. And apparently a Waymo self-driving car was approaching the scene, and it was getting close to one of the high pressure hoses. And they don't want, obviously, cars driving over those when they're trying to put out a fire. So there is body cam footage of a San Francisco police officer that is trying to figure out how to prevent this car from running over anywhere. The hose. Yeah. And one of the things they tried was they got a flare out of their patrol vehicle and pointed a flare at it. I'm not sure. I guess they figured the smoke would scare it off and make it stop.
Yeah, they were thinking the smoke, it would be interpreted like fog, and it would just stop because it didn't know where it was.
That's what
anymore.
They do. Yeah, that's what they do. When they get into fog, they stop. So maybe that's what they were trying. Apparently, at some point, they figured out how to get in the car and put it in the park. I don't remember them being very specific about that. But then they were talking
probably
about
there's a broken window on the car.
No. Yeah. I think I heard that there was another report that they basically called the Waymo Central and they opened up the car for them.
Okay.
Remotely, so.
Right. Yeah. And then the other favorite quote from it, they after telling the story, they got into all the, you know, Cruises also got permits to do self-driving stuff. And they talked about the relationship of, or they talked to people at the fire department about their relationship with these companies. And the one quote was, they've made every effort to work with us in public safety measures and be a good partner, made every effort to be a good partner. But the final part of the quote is, but they do not have a great product.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is kind of expected. I mean, like, if you're a human being, it's, situations like this are super confusing. So, like, for a computer, probably not any better. So, I mean, I think what's going to happen is that there's going to be some safety shut off that the police or the fire department or whoever, like, can trigger remotely and then, or put a block in place simply remote, over the internet and say, okay, like, do not enter this zone, and then the cars will simply know. Probably the latter, actually. Yeah.
I think it's a good question, though, because it's kind of like having an encryption back door that I worry about with this stuff, because if you give the police and the fire department the ability to remotely shut off a Waymo vehicle, then it's another threat vector, you know, for somebody to get into and hack that in some way.
Well, but I mean, Waymo does have remote access to those cars.
Sure.
So
sure.
Simply, I don't know. I mean, this very similar thing that they do with the scooters, where you can put safety zones in where you can't go or where you can only go slowly and so on. They could do the same thing and simply say, okay, there's an incident here. This intersection is blocked, or this area of whatever, the highway, the street, whatever is blocked. And that gets sent to all the fleet operators, and then the cars get that because it's simply a map update. I mean, it could literally be Waze, to be honest. Like, it's what Waze does.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And then, and then some teenage kid would get a Raspberry Pi with a transmitting antenna and build one of those around their house, right? That's what I'm
doing. Yeah, I mean, but I mean, that, as I said, there's a way to do that. Like, I don't know, the police department, like the emergency services there, simply enter it into their computer system and it gets sent from there or something. I mean, ultimately what like Waze already kind of has.
Mm-hmm. Right,
like all the traffic reporting and so on, and as I said, that probably would be enough. Like, there is probably a solution for that. I mean, other than that, probably the car should learn that if there's a police officer and he's telling you to stop, then just stop.
Right. Yeah.
Well, that was a weird thing. Why wouldn't it stop if anybody just stood in front of it?
I think it did, but then it decided to go again. No, I looked at the video, and from what I saw, it was basically it would stop and then they would walk away.
Oh, and then it
and then it would think, hey, I can keep going again because the street is clear, and it would start again. And
so maybe maybe we just give every patrol car for the policeman, give him a mannequin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that seemed to be the problem, that they had to basically stay in front of the car the entire time to keep it from going. Sure, that's the problem.
Yeah, from what I saw in some of the notes, they were saying that it ignores like a sandwich board saying, caution, don't come ahead, and cones and things. It ignores those. So that's not going to help them. They need to have the AI talk to them to identify that. Yeah. Oh, no, I can't go forward now because there's that there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you can be damn sure, like by now, because this happened in February, by now this has been fixed. Because software Waymo is quite, but Waymo is quite responsive to learning. I mean, that's their whole thing. They want to learn all the time and improve the driver and so on. This was probably put in the day after.
Right. Yeah, I think, you know, the idea of having these pilot programs is excellent. You know, that's the only way you're going to find these things. My question is, how many of these things? How much testing are you going to have to do in how many different areas before this becomes practical? Because this is in the Sunset, which is like a suburb. It's got streets that all go, it's Manhattan, right? They're all 90 degrees. There's no weird curves. They're very wide streets, not as much traffic. You know, you couldn't run a Waymo self-drive in downtown.
I mean, I can tell you that 15 years.
Right.
Because that's how long they've already worked on this. I mean,
right.
More or less.
Anyway, it was a funny.
This is not easy.
It was mostly a funny story.
That's really.
There've been others,
that's
like the really fog story, and so on. There've been some fun stories. I mean, but that's what I mean. I think I mentioned it in one of the last big shows. That's exactly what they want. That's why they went to San Francisco, because I mean, they basically mastered the non-existent weather and the wide streets and everything in Arizona. So,
right.
I mean, there's probably plenty of issues there still, but like good enough that they had to move on to real weather. Basically.
And the weird thing around here is there are like three or four other companies that are sort of in the same state with self-driving cars that Waymo was about 7 or 8 years ago, where they have cars with all the gear, but they still have drivers in because they don't have permits.
Yeah, exactly.
I see probably three or four different companies with cars with all the gear on it driving around here. And I just wonder how much money.
Including Apple.
Yeah, they might be car.
This is known. This is registered. Like, it is known that Apple, which cars they have and everything.
Mm.
Like, they reduced it recently for some reason, but...
But it's gotten to the point where if you see a car with a spinning, LiDAR on top of it, you don't really even notice it.
It was the same in Phoenix. Like, at some point, I'm like, one of them.
I just don't remember signing up for the beta test, though. I don't remember.
Right.
I'm sure I did at some point, but
One of the EULAs you just clicked through somewhere.
it was in. And we're going to drive self-driving cars.
By moving into this area, you are.
Right. Mm-hmm. You're when green. I renewed my car registration, it must have been in a EULA.
Oh, probably. Yeah. No, I mean, there've been recently some funny things, but I mean, as I said, this is known. There's stuff to learn. I mean, honestly, like a inexperienced driver might have made a similar mistake. Maybe.
There are so many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
poor drivers out there that I could absolutely see a cop standing in front of a car. The person stops, the cop steps away, and they're like, oh, I can go.
Mm-hmm. That's my thing. I mean, this is a story for sure. It's interesting. Yeah. It makes a good headline. They should fix that. I fully agree. This shouldn't have happened, or well, they should at least fix it. It's not as if we're that much better at driving.
Yeah, there's no doubt that these cars probably drive a lot better than a lot of 16-year-olds that have high anxiety about driving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
for sure.
And, I think that's a safe bet. Either high anxiety or are overconfident in their driving.
Yeah, you're right. Both extremes are a problem. Which is all the other ones that think that they are now. Mm-hmm. Lewis Hamilton and can drive around everywhere at high speed.
That's right. We have a lot of Lewis Hamiltons in my neighborhood, Ian. You're right. 16-year-old Lewis Hamiltons.
Or 16-year-old, whatever the best NASCAR driver there is that can go around in circles really fast.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. 16-year-olds and stress and cars, that's just a mess waiting to happen. Unlike TSO hosts. Which is rock solid, and there's no stress there. And the reason there's no stress is because it just works. And let's be honest, you don't have to worry about whether or not your TSO host server is going to get confused by fog, try and drive over high pressure fire hoses, or just start crashing on you, or leave you without customer support. TSO host is great at doing all the things that they do, and what they're doing for us is great too, because they're giving us the bandwidth we need so we can live stream to you every single week, and they're giving us the hosting space we need so there's a website for you to go visit, and that means you can also watch or listen to the recordings of episodes at your leisure. And without the support they're giving us, we literally would not be here. The resources that it takes to do all of this, it's beyond what we would be able to come up with. So it's so great that TSO Host is being amazingly generous in helping us out like this. And all we need to do to show our appreciation is go out on social media and thank TSO Host for being here supporting us. So please go do that. Because that's just a huge thing for letting them know that we do really appreciate all they do. Now, let's say that you decide you're ready to take advantage of their services yourself because you've come up with the best domain name ever and you have the best website idea ever. Well, you need to buy the domain name and you need some hosting. Use TSO Host for that. Because they make it easy to get everything you need, get it in your cart, get you set up. Now, once you have all of that in your cart, add the discount code BTN20, and you're going to get 20% off your order. So not only are they being incredibly generous by helping us be here, they are giving you an awesome deal as a BTN fan. So thank you, TSO Host, for being here. And with that, Patrice, would you please tell people all about the chat?
Of course I would. So if you want to be here now in our live chat, then you can head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com. You can do that, either right now if you're listening to this live, or we're live recording every Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time for the big show. And also Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show, if you're into the Apple side of things, because we usually stay away from Apple, like minus the mention here and there on this show. Then you can like talk to us, talk to the other awesome people in the chat, like Bob Beach, who was there, see the links live, like all of the fun stuff. So that's the best way to be here now. But let's say you are listening to this after the fact, like in the recorded form, which like that's what a podcast is usually. That's literally the definition of a podcast. In your favorite podcast player of choice, in like on a website, like wherever you're listening to this recorded. I don't know, VR in the future. Who knows when you're listening to this even.
Right.
You can, I mean, of course, not join the live chat. It doesn't work anymore, but you can still at least see all the things that were talked about, see all the links that we posted, like for the weird British TV stuff that Ian brought in the beginning, or the news stories that we talked about, or the cool things that are coming up. All of that is in our live chat, and all of that is in our chat transcript. And all you have to do to get to that is you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. Then there's a little calendar that pops up, and you select today's date. Today, as we're recording this. So that would be the 11th of May, 2023. And that's it. You're in, and you can see everything that was talked about.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that, Patrice.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Unlike an inexperienced 16-year-old driver, I am not stressed. So thank you. All right. And with that, it's time for some cool things. And Patrice, you already have your cool thing here ready to go. Okay. So please tell us.
I thought that was last. Okay. I have a Apple TV Plus show. And if you're saying, no, wait a second, this is not the Apple show, and I don't have an Apple, and like I have Android or like a PC and all of that, do not worry. Apple TV Plus is for everybody. It does not require any kind of Apple device. In fact, you can like take any browser you want, head over to tv.apple.com and like watch it there. You can also like a lot of like smart TVs and devices these days have Apple TV Plus as an app. So it can either it's already pre-installed or you can install it. So that's quite easy. And there's a new TV show that I wanted to recommend. It is called Silo. It's based on some book. I'm blanking on the author's name now. But it's basically, it's one of those kind of small town dystopian future types of stories. So it's basically, there's a silo, hence the name, with like quite a big silo. It's not a little missile silo. It's like really big. It's like a small city. Bunch of people living there. There's like a whole civilization has lived in there for, well, as far as they know, at least 150 years, I think. 40, mm-hmm. something like that. They don't know how long because like all the records were destroyed in like an uprising back then. So they don't know. But there's like a government and like sheriffs and like everything you can imagine. There's like life basically living in that silo. And the reason why they're living in there is because the outside world is poisoned, dangerous. Or so they think. And yeah, whether that's true and what's really going on, that is kind of the mystery of that show. And it's a really, really good show. I really enjoyed it. It's like, I closed it already. Who was in it? It's like,
what's her name? It has Tim Robbins in it, which I mean, that,
yes,
that's yeah, cool.
Tim Robbins. It's like Rebecca Ferguson, that was the name. She's one of the main characters. Mm-hmm. The first episode actually focuses on a different character, and she gets only introduced at the end. But I think the show, I've only watched the first, I think two episodes are out. Mm-hmm. So I've only watched that. But she's like one of the main characters. There's a bunch of like really good, really interesting like characters. Harriet Walter as kind of the, I think is she the mayor or the governor or something like that?
The mayor.
Yeah. Of that city. So it's a really interesting mystery where you don't really exactly know what's going on and you're trying to find out, and that's kind of the story. So highly recommended. It's a sci-fi show, so
I'm enjoying reading the German version of the synopsis and show descriptions.
Is that in German? I'm so sorry. Why is this in German? Okay.
What does gratis probiabo mean?
It's the free trial, Seven. Basically.
Oh,
free
okay.
trial. Yeah. So you need an Apple TV Plus subscription. I'm trying to find the proper link for it. I don't know why.
The
you got
link,
the German version.
But of course, I'm on my Mac, so apparently it knew what to do with this, and and gave me because I'm not logged in.
Yeah, I'm not logged in.
Yeah, okay. Let me see.
Anyway, it's kind of fun looking at the German one, Patrice. It's okay.
Hey, Patrice, yeah. I dropped the book series into the chat, and the author is Hugh Howey.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Oh, yes. Thank Hugh
you.
Howey.
Thank you. And I found that I saw like there was a sneaky slash DE in the URL for some reason, probably because Google thought I was in, because I'm in Austria, I want the German link.
Those damn D's.
Yeah, I got the US link. It's in the chat. So yeah, it's it's a really good show. And yeah, we know there is something going on. Someone is not telling the truth, but we don't know exactly what's going on. So really good show.
Okay, cool. Let's see. Then Tom, you dropped yours in next.
Okay. Mine is it'll be a quick one. It's a site that somebody pointed me to, which was hilarious. It's called On the Road to Failure, and it's presentations and pitch decks by the largest business failures and corporate frauds. So it's really, they have basically the PowerPoint slides from companies like Enron, WorldCom, Fire Festival, FTX, Theranos. MoviePass, and it's really, it can be kind of boring, some of them, but it can be kind of funny to look at how they pitch their companies knowing what we know now. Like in the FTX, they had sort of their futures in there, and it was they were going to expand in new product lines, including options, sportsbook, and prediction markets. Oh, yeah, good luck with that.
Okay. Hey, SVB's in here.
Yeah, Silicon Valley Bank, First Republic Bank, and the Fire Festival one is pretty humorous, given what we know now about the whole Fire Festival dumpster fire. I mean, they were just so over the top. It always amazes me with pitches to investors how much BS can be in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the Theranos one is like, you know, there were some smart people on that board. They knew nothing about medical stuff. But they were reasonably smart people. Yeah. And you just wonder how, you know, what the dynamics are that make somebody write a check when there's so much crap in the investor pitch.
Well, I mean, they know. That's kind of the game. That's kind of to project what you think is going to happen and what you want to happen and what you hope is going to happen and pitch like a future, basically.
Right.
Fully knowing that that's probably not what you're going to end up with. And everybody knows that. I mean, anybody who has done this a couple of times at least should know that.
Yeah,
I've pitched to investors, and I can tell you that. I mean, as realistic as we tried it to be, there's a certain thing that's wishful thinking.
Oh, sure. I mean, that's part of, they actually want to see that. When I work for some startups, the investors that invested in us would occasionally ask us to sit in on startup pitches.
Mm-hmm.
The most interesting thing is after the person making the pitch leaves the room.
Yeah.
And yeah, the investors would say, well, we know this is bullshit, but, you know, or, you know, it has a very small chance of making it. But you really look at the foundational things. Does this person seem like they have what it takes to drive this stuff no matter what direction it goes? You know, that's more of what they talk about. It's not the details of what they think is going to happen in 15 years. But still, it's funny. The Fire Festival one is particularly fun to look through.
Yeah, I think it's sometimes like it's about can they show a coherent story, even if everybody knows that story probably is not true, but like in the future it will be important that you can do this for like something else.
The biggest thing that they look for from a negative point of view, if you don't have a fundamental understanding of the business or market or technology that you're talking about, if you show that you know it, even if your plans seem a little bit goofy, if you show that you're an expert in that field, they're probably willing to invest some money.
Yeah, they're like, okay, you will figure it out. Like, if this doesn't pan out, you will figure it out. So, yeah, exactly.
And we can see how that worked out for Theranos.
Well, they didn't figure it out. Yeah. That's the problem.
Yes. Yep.
Yep, or SVB or I saw Credit Suisse on this one. Like, there's a bunch of interesting ones.
Well,
I'm
and
gonna check that out.
one of the people I hadn't realized until I went through the Theranos deck was there was a guy named Don Lucas who invested in Theranos, and he's an old time VC that's invested in a lot of things. But what I suspect is people who are smart probably didn't get in on the later rounds of Theranos. I mean, I can kind of understand the early investors in Theranos maybe, but it's the people that came along later that made no sense to me. You know,
But
by
this
the
is
time the
a
last couple of rounds, you know, come on.
but is it FUD is a thing.
Right. FUD
Yep.
is a thing.
FUD and FOMO both.
Yeah, when you mix FUD
Right.
and
A lot of
FOMO.
FOMO, right? That's a dangerous combination. You're right.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So, Ian, tell us about yours. When I clicked the link,
My
I thought your pick was going to be Lost in Space because I got a
no.
404 error with a really cool
Oh.
still from Lost in Space.
No, I mean, I guess you can't get it there in that the America place. It's but
Yeah,
you
also not
shouldn't be able
here.
to. That's random. Let me put an IMDb link in for it. Then it's a movie called Nobody, and it's about a guy who's a nobody. Played by Bob Odenkirk, so the guy who plays Saul in the Breaking Bad series.
Oh,
And
Christopher
that's
Lloyd's
weird.
in it too.
Yes, he is. He's
Nice.
really
Oh,
funny in it as
really?
well. Yes, he's really funny as well. There's a good
Yeah,
amount of
that's.
humor in it. There we go, it's the IMDb link. There's a good amount of humor. There's a good amount of action. A lot of it's ridiculous and silly. And it's great fun, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was just a nice bit of turn your brain off. Let's watch some silliness. Good cast. As I said, Michael Ironside's in there as well. There's Colin
Oh,
Salmon turns up.
Connie Nielsen is in it. That's always good.
Yeah.
And I figured
Yeah.
out why I can't bring it up on Netflix. It's because it's not available in my country on
Is it
Netflix.
not?
Oh,
Oh.
yeah, I can't find it either.
I watched it on Netflix in the UK. Your mileage may vary. Where can you watch? There's a where can you watch on the IMDb page, isn't there, to find the
Yeah,
alternative?
no, I'm just looking a bit up and just watch. Give me 1 second, I'll find it.
If you've got a Just Watch link, yes, chuck it in for me.
Nobody.
Prime.
Just watch.
So here is the UK link. And you can, let's see, in the UK, let's see what the US says. So you can buy it. Actually, no, you can rent it on Apple TV Plus. You can rent or buy it on Apple TV Plus. You cannot stream it anywhere.
Okay.
Not on streaming. You can buy it though on the, everywhere basically.
Yeah, well, I
That's
guess you
so
can buy
weird.
it.
Why? You
You
always
can
wonder
stream it
about these
here.
weird country differences with shows that they license, you
Well, they
know?
just need a VPN, I guess.
Yeah,
And the problem
exactly.
goes
With
away. You
you,
need a
with
VPN, and the problem
Netflix,
goes
just
VPN to the UK,
VPN.
problem goes away.
Yeah,
But
there
yes,
you go.
it was a very entertaining film.
Yeah.
Very good. And yet, well, it
Funny.
looks like a downtrodden man
Yeah.
suddenly worm turns
Funny.
into funny. There's a rhythm of humor in it as well.
Yeah.
It's quite good.
Funny enough, in Austria, it's available on on Amazon Prime for streaming. So
Yeah, there's been a lot of clips on you. I found out about why there was a lot of clips on YouTube. There was a particular fight scene on a bus. I was like, all right, I have to watch that then. And it was very good.
we watched it.
It's worth a watch. I recommend.
All right.
Or brainless action, I recommend.
And now we know where to find it in our region.
Yeah.
Highly
Okay.
recommend Just Watch. It's always a good way
Yeah,
to
Just
look
Watch
at
is a
TV
great
stuff.
app. That's a
Yep.
great app.
Okay, so that brings us to my cool thing. And my cool
It's
thing is a
Lego.
book.
No, it's Lego.
Not
It's a
today.
Lego book.
Not Lego.
Although it could be a
Cats
Lego book.
in
Okay, so
Space.
this is an anthology, collection of short sci-fi stories called Cats in Space and Other Places. And the title is accurate. Now, it's been out of physical print for quite a while. So if you want to get the paperback, it is going to cost you like $300.
Oh my God.
What I recommend instead is get it on Kindle, where depending on what subscriptions and stuff you have, it's either going to be free or $6.99. And it's just a collection of wonderfully fun stories. And I've heard of this before over the years. And I, like a month or so ago, I was having a chat with someone and they started asking me if I'd ever read a story about a spaceship where all the people on it, for whatever reason, aren't there, or they had died or whatever. And only the cat that was their pet was left on the ship. And how this cat, just by being a cat, ends up saving the day somehow. And I'm like, no, but I need to know about this. So I did some research. Turns out it's a short story in this book. And anyhow,
this looks like a cool book.
It's wonderfully fun.
Do you have any idea why it's out of print? I mean, it's only 6 or 7 years old.
It's already 6 or 7 years old.
Yeah. Okay. You're telling me this is 2023, not 1975. Okay. I get it.
Well, oh yeah, you're right. Originally published in 2016.
So 7 years.
7 years. And wow.
Yeah, but if it's a smaller, like a smaller run or smaller publisher, right, it's quite normal, because I mean they will probably do one run, and when it's sold out and nobody else asks for it, they will not do another one.
Well, yeah, the publisher is Bain Books, which I've never heard of. B-A-E-N. So yeah, it was probably just like you said, Patrice, a short run.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great thing about e-books, though, you know.
Yeah, and it's saying here, at the publisher's request, this title is sold without DRM.
Oh, jeez. Perfect.
Oh, I had missed seeing that. Okay.
Does Kindle even let you do that?
Yes, they they have different formats, like, depending. They do that.
Oh, see all formats and editions. Wow. This might
apparently it's actually a really old book. So maybe the digital version is from 2016. Because one of these reviews is someone saying that they bought the paperback like 25 years ago.
Okay. Anyway, e-version is perfect.
Yeah, e-version. Yeah,
actually, published date of the paperback, January 1st, 1992. It says on here.
Okay.
Whether that's true or not, but that's the on the paperback at least. January 1st is quite weird. So, well, who knows?
Anyhow, the Kindle price is much more reasonable.
This may be a birthday gift for my wife. Thanks, Jeff.
You are welcome.
Yeah. So, but that explains it. That's a 30-year-old book.
Right.
Yeah. And it was probably, just like you said, Patrice, a short run.
Mm.
No reprint.
Yeah. I've got a book over here that I've been trying to find a copy of that was everywhere in the 70s and 80s and things, and no digital version, so I ended up having to buy a paperback in front of me, by a guy called Robert Nye. He wrote lots of random stories, and this one's called Merlin, about Merlin. He's written other ones called one about Faust, another one about various characters from place and time. It's entertaining nonsense, but you only seem to find those in paperback whenever I hunt for them.
Nice.
That's a great description for our show, entertaining nonsense.
It is, yeah. That's my go-to, entertaining nonsense. I like nonsense. I like it to be entertaining. I'm happy.
There you go.
All right. Well, with that, it's time to wrap up. So thank you to all three of you for being so awesome today. Patrice, where can people find you?
You can find me every week here on The Big Show on Thursdays, also on The Mac Show on Fridays. said, if you're on the in the well, if you're into the Apple side of things, I should say, you can find everything I'm doing, all the social media links, the podcasts, the projects, literally everything I'm doing, I'm like linking to on my website, thepatrice.com. And if you're into like really interesting stories about food, food related memories, and just everything that goes with that, I have an interview podcast called Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com.
Awesome. All right. And Tom, where can people find you?
In about an hour, you can find me at the doctor's office. I'm getting my foot checked. But otherwise, you can find me on Mastodon. I am Tom F at sfba.social.
Awesome.
Just tell them they should get the replacement body out. Just switch out the brain.
Right. Upgrade you to your new Android body.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be nice. That would be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you'll be off to war. I mean, David, what's that book called where they take old people, transfer them into new bodies, send them off to war? Science fiction. It's very good. It's
never heard of it.
I haven't heard of it. David Scalzi. It sounds like a totally Star Trek thing kind of for many countries today.
Yes. I mean, also no other choice because there's not too many young people left.
Right.
Yeah. Old man's war.
Well,
that's
yes. Old man's war.
Oh.
Okay,
like John Scalzi. Bit of sci-fi.
Let me guess. Also entertaining nonsense.
Completely justice. Exactly.
All right.
There's three or four of them that were very good. I remember them being a very good read.
There's three or four of them.
I think of the books. Yeah, of the books from the series. Yeah.
So and like very the good fun. Like the old people didn't at some point just say, "Ah, hell no."
Get off my
because that seems like a very thing so for they, people that
so
have
an
a
old
lot of
person,
life
a 75-year-old retired advertising writer called John Perry, goes off to Spa. I'm reading now from the I'm paraphrasing now from the Wikipedia summary. Takes the choice to join the Space Marines. Basically, goes off and has his brain, his consciousness, brain, whatever, transplanted into a new super enhanced physical body, which is a bit not quite human like, but nevertheless that, and he goes off to war.
Interesting.
But it was an interesting story, and there I remember. I think I found out about from the Incomparable. it was a Jason Snell recommendation, or one of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And Paramount Pictures has the movie options for it.
Okay, I'm surprised they haven't given
2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right.
Bye-bye. There we go.
Ian, where can people find you?
People can find me enjoying entertaining nonsense here in the UK. I'm available on LinkedIn. Look for Ian Grant, and I will be here every week talking about nonsense mostly because that's what I'm good at over here on The Big Show every Thursday.
Well, if you talk entertaining nonsense, what are you then? You are an entertaining nonsense-er?
Nonsense-er.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm
yes,
nonsensical. I'm nonsensical.
In yes. the US, we call that a TV star, Patrice.
Yes, on Fox News mostly.
On Fox News, we call that a TV star. Yeah.
Okay, this totally checks out. Yep. All right, so I believe that means I am next. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you can find me on Mastodon and Instagram. I'm Jay Gambit on both. Little side observation, as I was scrolling through Instagram this morning, I was lamenting the fact that it's mostly just TikTok videos now. It's not what it used to be, where I could scroll through and see pictures from my friends. It's just like this rando TikTok feed.
Yep. Welcome to the new Instagram.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. Also sad, my podcast list. No.
no, that's very happy.
The list of podcasts you can find me on right now. Most Tuesdays on Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live. Then here on The Big Show on Thursdays and The Mac Show on Fridays. Then most Thursday evenings on Dave Ginsburg's In Touch with iOS. And then also typically on Fridays, Brian Chaffin and I record the Context Machine. And then I show up on other shows every now and then too. Also, at some point near the end of the show, some light in my space went bright and then not. And the lighting in here is different. And it's driving me crazy trying to figure out what changed.
It's your office manager playing with your lights. That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's
she sat on something and changed it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think totally you're
he was like
your Google Home app got updated, Jeff. You didn't know.
Oh, that's also possible.
Yeah. That's totally possible. And now that it has LLM posing that's as right. an AI, it's making decisions for me based on statistical probability. So basically, I'm screwed.
Yep, pretty much. Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, thank you to the three of you for being here and putting a smile on my face. It is wonderful to get to spend part of my Thursday with all of you. So I'm so happy we are here together. Everyone that's watching or listening live, thank you for being part of the show as well. You are awesome. And if you've been participating in the live chat, thanks for being there. Everyone of you that watches or listens to recordings later on, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. Also, TSO hosts, thank you for being here and supporting us. Give them some online love. Ewan, thank you just for being you. Muller, thanks for making sure we have people for the shows. And hope you feel better soon. And let's see. Yeah, I think that kind of wraps up all the thank yous. So with that, I will say, be sure to join us next Thursday for the big show again. Join us tomorrow on Friday for the Mac show. And then again next Friday. And then everyone have an awesome weekend. And we'll see you next week.